Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment.
You're awesome.
It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit, Schmidt.
All right, thank you very much. So, I wanted to run this past you guys because I received a note from a P1 who says, and I quote,
"Wow,
dearest Corby, I think we have very similar music tastes. I, just like you, am very into rock and roll. But I also splinter off into the jam band scene. And I also very much enjoy the alt country Americana scene. There aren't many people that like all three. I'm wondering how you broke off and started in the Americana genre." He says, "Most people I know that are into that scene are literally only into that scene. But you seem to be a little bit more more well-rounded. But what got you into that scene? I'm very curious. I have my ideas, but just want to hear it from the horse's mouth. P.S. Tell Bob and Dave hello."
Well, hello.
That's from Randy, the P1 exterminator.
I guess.
So his question is, what made your music palette so
broad?
How are you so awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in many ways, you remind me of me, so I need to hear how you became the superhuman.
George is a good example of this, too, because George is a straightforward rock and roll guy. But George, later on in his life, splintered off and got into the Texas country scene, which is...
It's very specific.
Very specific. And he's really, really into that. And most people that I know that are into the Texas country scene are only into the Texas country scene. There are people that we work with up here that are only into Bruce Springsteen. There are so many people that are only into the Grateful Dead. Dave, you are more likely positioned to be into the, what, new wavy type 80s music?
Like if you had to gay music. No, I mean I feel like I have a broad taste, but I'm definitely indie / electronic music.
Yeah, and people have obviously they have their niche, if you will, and so for me,
doesn't everybody's evolve over the decades though?
I think
some people. They never evolve. They stay stagnant and listen to what they listen to in high school, college.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can always have like your, podium bands that you loved when you were 18, 19, 20 and all that.
And some of them stick with you, but I feel like I've jumped genres a few times in my life and I feel like it allows you to feel a little bit rounded, even though I'm probably just dipping my toes into the casual waters in all of them.
Yeah. So for me, getting into, if you want to call it the country scene, there is one band that got me into it. And you guys would probably never in a million years be able to guess who it was.
Uncle Tupelo?
No. It was way, way before that. And when I was about 12 or 13 years old, and this happens so often with kids that are into music, there was a friend of mine who had an older brother. And at the time, think about this in the late 70s and early 80s, for my generation of dudes that had dads that were listening, yeah, you can play it for sure. If you had a dad that was in his 40s in the 70s and 80s, he was listening to Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Jerry Reed, and they all wanted to be Burt Reynolds, basically. Right? They just love that outlaw country stuff. I hated it. I couldn't stand it as a kid.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like country music. It just didn't appeal to me at all. And he was like, "You want to hear some country?" He's like, "I know you like these guys. Do you know this side of them?" And I'm like, "No, I have no idea." So I want to play this for you. I want to know, you're going to know who it is once you hear the singer, but are you aware that this band has about 15 to 20 songs that are very, very hardcore leaning into country. And crank it, Glenn. So this is the Rolling Stones.
It sure is.
And for the Hams of the world and the DJs of the world, and maybe the Landos. I feel Lando knows a little bit more than you guys do.
Huh.
Were you even aware that the Stones had country songs?
I'm not really into the Stones.
I know you're not. That's not the question.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That wasn't a question.
Yes. Were you aware this was country?
No. It's I told DJ this sounds disjointed.
It's country tinged. And it's, yes, it does. 100% you're right. And
it feels like 1970 to me.
And the band, yeah, this was 1971.
Okay.
Or 72 when this was recorded. This is Torn and Frayed off Exile on Main Street. All right, play track two that I gave you. I fell in love with country Rolling Stones. And I thought it was so cool that this super dangerous rock and roll band could do all the stuff that they were doing and then have basically a side project that consisted of all these country elements that I hated, but I loved it when they did it. And this is Sweet Virginia. And it's still one of my favorite songs that they do, and I guarantee you Giorgio feels the same way.
Does it bother you they cannot ride a horse?
No. And it's the real boozy Mick, just...
Yeah, and it makes more sense than you might first think, because they were obsessed with Americana.
Yes.
That began with blues and Muscle Shoals.
Yep.
And, you know, their early stuff was all covers. And then they discovered country music as well.
Yeah.
And they became equally obsessed with that.
Yeah. And they were open about it. Mick would never, he didn't take it too seriously. And Keith was really, really into it. But this got me into the genre. And then when I heard this song, number two, by the way. Play number two. So I don't know how much time we have left. I think this is one of the most classic Stone songs ever written. It's Dead Flowers. It's my favorite song to play on guitar. And there's so much out there that's stereotypical Rolling Stones, and everybody knows all the songs, and they're a beat down, and you turn your radio off immediately when you hear them all. There's another side to them, though, that I have always been obsessed with, and this is what got me moving in that direction. And yeah, and then it kind of went away in the 80s because there was nothing, there was no rock and roll band, maybe a little REM, that did anything like country tinged, but then the Americana.
Poison.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, Poison and Metallica.
Every rose has its thorn.
I mean,
right? Yes, it was.
It's right there in front of you, Corby.
It was absolutely perfect.
Let's ride the lightning.
Whoa. Suck every cowboy.
Yeah,
sings a sad song.
Give Poison their due.
I can't give Poison any due whatsoever. But really, I mean, honestly, all of that stuff from the Stones, and I played you three of
Bon Jovi.
Of 15 or 20 songs.
On a steel horse I ride.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
He's on a horse, a steel one.
But he's wanted.
But it kind of all led to.
Dead or alive.
That led to, Dave, you mentioned Uncle Tupelo. That was a, you know, really at the early outset of that phase of Americana, the late 80s. That led to the old 97s. And you can play, well, let's see what I gave you, track 7. And this is the first Jason Isbell song I ever heard.
Bingo.
No. Now you listen to this and you tell me if you think this is country or has any country tinge to it, because to me, this is country. Because it reminded me of the Stones. The boozy country Stones. So, that's the answer. I went from the Rolling Stones really into 90s Americana only because of the Rolling Stones. And again, that is why they're the greatest rock and roll band of all time. Because they cover it all. The rhythm and blues, straight up rock, country, ballads. Hell, Wild Horses, that's a country song.
Disco.
Disco, yes, with Some Girls. Like, they did everything, and they did it great. So, that's for you, Ham.
Okay.
It is. Ham, would you please accept?
You can't. If you notice, there's nothing that you could ever do to change Ham's mind on anything. Like, you just can't.
I don't know.
I respect him for
it. I think
he's
about to give in.
I respect him
for
it.
Play one more.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're just one song away.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Don't give up now.